to control him. We're going to turn to God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter 10. As you're turning, I'll just remind you that the Bible Speak quarterly is available. And also, in the will of the Lord, Monday the 9th of September 2019 in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church, there's going to be the annual college graduation and commencement service. And it will also be the 40th anniversary of the Whitfield College of the Bible. So you can keep that date in mind, Monday the 19th of September. Deuteronomy chapter 9, and we want to read, 10 and verse number 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. And if you have a pen, it would be beneficial for you to underline those three words, for thy good. Every blessing and every command God gives is for our good. And then turn over to Micah, please. Micah chapter 6. And just one more verse before we come to pray. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Let's pray and seek the Lord together. Father God in heaven, we thank thee for these two verses. They tell us what God requires of us. And I pray, O Lord, that we'll be willing to submit and surrender to thee today. Pray, Heavenly Father, we'll be found walking sincerely in the center of the will of God, not just pleasing man, but, O Lord, pleasing thee. Thank you, Lord, there is a way to walk before God that will bring glory to thy name and blessing to our soul. Oh, don't let anybody walk in a cold heart or a backslidden state. Don't let anyone this morning live in second best, but may God be glorified in having full control of every life and being be able to have a testimony here in Muckerfelt that God is still moving among his people. Lord, we pray you'll breathe upon us this morning. Lord, we pray you'll come in a mighty way and bless this waiting people. Empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit, I pray. May God be glorified in what is said and done in this service. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. As I thought about these two verses, it asked what does God require of you, or what doth the Lord require of thee? Over the years of the preaching of the church, and especially, I suppose, in the last two centuries, there has been a little statement that has been used in services to tell people, really, in summary, what the Lord desires them to do. And it's this little statement, go through with God. Go through with God. Noel Grant, of course, put that into a hymn that's well known. It's in our hymn book. We'll be singing it at the end of this service. Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. And I say to this congregation this morning, if you want God's best, and surely everybody does, then you go through with God. Whatever he calls you to be, you be there with all your heart. Wherever he sends you to go, you go there. Whatever he asks you to give, you give it willingly. Wherever he asks you to withdraw, you withdraw humbly. And whatever he tells you to do, you do it with all your heart. I have three very simple questions I want to ask this morning as we draw our service to close. First of all, what does it mean to go through with God? What does it mean to go through with God? Well, I believe the first thing it means is surrender. In Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it's the surrendering of yourself to do whatever God would have you to do. This is surrender. Not just giving some money in. Not just attending, but surrendering it all. The Bible says here, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, everything that you are, leave it on the altar before the Lord. Instead of reverencing self, instead of walking in our own ways, instead of loving ourselves first, instead of serving ourselves first, We put God in the highest place in our thoughts and in our heart. It's an awareness and a resolve to obey him and seek to live for his glory and for his best. It means laying aside pride. It means as a Christian saying, Lord, I can't live in any way to bring glory to your name myself. I need you, Lord. That's surrender. It means laying aside your plans, seeking his will, remembering that his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. It means laying aside your authority. Not my will, but thine be done. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said that? Now, the flesh will struggle with this, but it's basically a surrendering of all that we have and all that we are, coming before God and saying, here am I, use me. Here am I, Lord, use me. Not only does going through with God mean surrender, it means sincerity. You see, such language, Lord, here am I, use me. Lord, I'm laying myself upon the altar. Lord, I'm coming to ask what your will is for my life. Such language must be coupled with true sincerity. God always requires the vows that we make before him. There are those who say the right things and saying, I surrender all. But they do not actually mean the words they sing or the words they say. Sincerity desires God's best. Sincerity determines to honor the Lord. Sincerity dethrones self and enthrones him in your heart. Now, listen to some of these verses where the Bible speaks of this sincerity. Joshua 24:14. Now, therefore, serve the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Ephesians 6:24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Oh, there's a special grace for the sincere. A special grace for those who have gone through with God and made their vow and honored it before the Lord. Maybe is there someone in this meeting, Christian, you made a vow before God? I'll do that, Lord. I'll serve you there. I will be in that place. Oh, I pray. I'll stand in the open air. And maybe at some point in your past, you've made those vows. I'll be at the prayer meeting, Lord. I'm going to surrender myself and give you my Thursday nights, my Sunday evenings to be at the prayer meeting. But you're not there. Maybe the vow has fallen by the way, friend. Going through with God is not just a surrender of words, it's sincerity. The word sincerity in the Greek means to be judged in the sunlight. The English word sincerity comes from the Latin sincera, which means without wax. And it's a very interesting background to that, because way back in ancient Greece, someone who was wealthy would have employed a sculptor to make a sculpture of their head or of their entire body if they could afford to do so. Now, of course, like anybody, they sometimes made mistakes. But sometimes this expensive marble that they got, they chipped too much away. Maybe it was at the ear, maybe it was at the nose, and a bit fell off. And instead of them going and being out the cost to get a new piece of marble, you know what they did? They got wax. And they molded the wax in, and it was treated to make it look to the untrained eye as if it was all marble. But the word sincerely comes from this point. Whenever the rich person went to pay the money for the statue or for the bust or whatever they were getting chiseled, they brought it out into the sunlight and they let it sit for about an hour. And if it was real, the marble would be as it was when it was brought out in the sunlight. If it was fake and if it was made of wax, the wax would melt and it would be revealed. And therefore, that's where that phrase came, to be sincere or to be without wax. And friend, when we come to the light of God's word and when we come before the eyes of the Son of God who knows all things, the fake things in our lives and the insincere things in our lives are exposed and they fall off. And while people might look at our lives and say, oh, he's a good Christian, she's a good Christian, the Lord looks and he sees what's sincere. That's why it's good to keep in the word of God, because it exposes insincerity in our lives, that we might deal with them, put them under the blood and have a closer walk with God. And I say this here, you might play the part before others, but if it's not a life of sincerity before God, it means absolutely nothing. Not only is there surrender, not only is there sincerity, but there must be scriptural adherence. You go through with God when you obey the word of God. Whatever God says is wrong, you say, that's wrong. Whatever God says is right, you say, that's right. The man or the woman or the child who goes through with God will not argue the Bible and try and make it fit their ideology, but rather they will come to the word of God and bring their life before the Bible and ask the Lord to shape their life by the scripture that they might be Christ-like. You see, the Christian attitude is not how close to the world can I get, but rather how close to the word can I get. How close to the Lord can I be through this book? And when a person disregards scripture, one verse of scripture, then they disregard the Lord. And the blessings of obedience and faithfulness are not experienced by those who deny or go against the word of God. Secondly, what hinders us from going through with God? Well, I believe sometimes the thing that hinders us from going through with God could be the lies of the devil. You see, there's some Christians and they don't truly go through with God. They don't give their all because they believe that's only for certain people. That's just for the minister. That's just for the missionary. That's just for the Bible college student. No, you read the word of God and the command is to all creation to praise him, all creation to worship him, all creation to give their all. It's not just for some. Now, the Lord has individual callings in our lives, and for some, yes, that will mean the mission field. For some, it will mean the pastorate. For some, it will mean in a secular workplace, just living faithfully for the Lord, and that's often a harder place than the mission field or the pastorate. But if you have this thought in your heart, it's only for some Christians to worry about going through with God and surrendering everything. No, friend, it's for you. Paul didn't say, I beseech you, therefore, the really, really spiritual people, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. No, he said, I present you, brethren, all of you. Sometimes the devil will cause us to think, well, I will lose out when I go through with God. If I give my money, I'll be poor. If I give my time, then I have no time to do things I enjoy. And if I surrender this or I surrender that, well, then I lose out. You speak to someone who's given it all. You speak to someone who's gone through with God, and you know what they will say? They've never lost out. They'll say, I wish I'd given him more. Because I'll tell you, the blessings of God far outnumber the sacrifices that we have to make. God is no man's debtor. And we will not be demanding from God something that he will withhold from us if we are faithful to him. And then some people look at all their Christians and how they're living, and they see insincerity. And they see people who are not going through with God, and yet they claim to be. But their life tells another story. There's insincerity. And then think, well, why should I even bother at all if that's the way the church is or that's the way Christians are? Well, the very simple answer to this is, friend, when we stand before the Lord, or I stand before the Lord, I'll give an account of my life. And friend, it's not enough to be able to say, well, they annoyed me and they hurt me and they discouraged me and look at the way they were living, so I just thought there was no point in me living that way. Friend, is Christ not enough? Is he not worthy that you would look beyond the insincere people around you? And there'll be insincerity in every walk of life wherever you live. Is Christ not worthy? Is he not worthy of us looking past them and looking to the perfect God-man and realizing it's for him I'm living, it's for him I'm surrendering, it's for him I want to please? There's some people who say, well, I'm no use to God. What could I do? I've nothing to do. Maybe my years are gone. Maybe my ability's gone. Maybe I don't have much money. I don't have much talent. Whatever you have, give it to God. Young boy gave the loaves and the fish. Thousands were blessed. Friend, if you give your time to God, maybe you take that prayer closet and once a day you meet with God and you get on your knees for that half hour before God and you sincerely pray for your friends, for your family, for your church, for your pastor, for your community. Friend, could you be the person through whom thousands are blessed because you've given your time to God? Don't think you're of no use to God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Everyone has a skill, an ability, a talent, something that God has given that can be used for his glory. But not only is it the lies of the devil prohibit us going through with God, sometimes laziness of the flesh. It does take effort, it takes resolve. It's not just a desire, but a deliberate decision and actions that honour the Lord. Remember, procrastination is spoken against in the Bible. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And we can be weary in the work of God. But if we are too busy to seek him, then we're too busy. And the ministries we're involved in will become burdensome and harsh in experience because we haven't time to seek God. We can be busy with life. And I know life's busy. And doing things that are not in any way sinful, but we give them priority over going through with God, over seeking God. And the flesh may feel this needs done or that needs done. No, what needs done is you need to go through with God. But I did do this first. No, you need to go through with God. Some people think, so, well, I'll wait till I get to the point where things are good in life and I'm happy and I'm content and everything's sorted and settled. Then I'll go through with God. No, you need to go through with God today. You need to go through with God this moment on your pew and cry upon the Lord, Lord, please forgive me. Here's what the Bible says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, you're weary today, but you're not too weary to call on the Lord. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And if you get it the wrong way around, I need to be strong. Then I'll pray to God. Then you're going to miss out big time. I need to pray to God. Then I'll be strong. That's what it means to go through with God. No matter whether it's an easy day or a hard day, you pray. We need to seek and pray God to God now. Especially in our weakness, confessing our sin, claiming the promise of verses such as these, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God will renew and restore and revive us in his presence. Something else that hinders us from going through with God is a lack of spiritual vision. We don't really see the danger of not going through with God. Maybe the cold Christian or the Christian who's not honestly, sincerely going through with God does not realize that disobedience today can lead to indifference and doubt tomorrow. They don't see the importance of obedience. Going through with God keeps us close to him, keeps us accountable, keeps us useful in his service at home and in the church, keeps us joyful, keeps us wise, keeps us a living testimony. What appears sometimes with the easy way out, I'll just miss that meeting. I'll not bother about prayer. I'll not read. Someday you may look back on that as the first step that led to awful backsliding and heartache in your life. Friend, don't you think you're the exception? Don't think you can close God out of your life and not suffer the consequences. Don't you think you can ignore God and prosper because there's danger in walking outside the will of God? Final thought is this. Why should we endeavor to go through with God? Why this morning, preacher, should I, sitting in this pew, make a point of praying and surrendering all before I leave this meeting? Give me one good reason. I'll give you four. Number one, for the glory of God. Man's chief end, his purpose, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. There should be no greater reason to live. No other reason we need to give. This should be enough. He is the greatest reason that the Lord may be glorified. Now, we don't add to his glory, but we declare his glory and reflect his glory. When we go through with God, there's a Christ-likeness about us. And that light and that brightness and that Christ-likeness is seen in our families, is seen in our workplace, is seen in our school, is seen in our community. And boy, does it make a difference. And then there's enjoyment and blessing, because note the order. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. The foolish people say, well, when I'm happy and life's in order, then I'll concentrate on the things of God. That's wrong. It's God first, then the blessing follows. But the second reason why is for the benefit of the church. How I live affects those around me. How you live affects those around you. Yes, we're one body, but we're many parts. But friend, you as an individual affect this congregation. You're not just a person that comes and goes. You're part of this work. You're part of this body. And whenever you defect and you grow cold, it affects the rest. But when you're on fire and you're going through with God, praise God, it also affects the rest. Don't think you're insignificant. Don't think your life doesn't matter. We must be in the right place with God to be a blessing to this church. And if you're walking in disobedience and you're not going through with God, then you are bringing a barrier into this work. And I don't want to be a hindrance in the work of God. How I live affects you, and how you live affects me. It affects the person sitting beside you, and the person sitting behind you, and the person that you're best friends with, and the person you don't really speak to. It affects us all. And for the glory of God and for the testimony of the church, we must go through with God. For the witness before the world. What would it be if the charge was laid to our account? You lived beside me for years, and I didn't know there was a hell I had to flee from. You worked with me for decades, and I didn't know there was a Savior. Friend, we need to go through with God. Souls are dying in this world without the Savior. God has called us to be witness. And finally, for the blessing of your soul. See, whenever you're saved, you're spoiled for this world. The things of this world will not bring you the true pleasure that salvation does. And the little pleasure that sin brings is nothing and is very empty after you're saved compared to what the joy was when you trusted in the Lord. A friend, if you want to know blessing in your soul, don't you look to your bank account. And don't look to your wardrobe. And don't look to the vehicle that's sitting in your driveway, and don't look at your house. You look at your heart and see where it is with God. And if you've gone through with God, then you're the richest person in this meeting. Because I tell you, there is nothing more precious in this world than the peace of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And yet they're believers and they're miserable. And they're crabbed. And they're hurting the cause of Christ. You know why? They're not going through with God. And I ask you this morning, child of God, between you and the Lord, are you going through with God? I don't ask what other people think of you. Don't you ask me what I think of you. It doesn't matter. Are you going through with God? If you're not, then as we sing this final hymn, you pray these words. 532, above thine own ambition here. Another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee. O leave thine all. Follow me. We're going to pray before we sing this hymn. And then as we sing this hymn, those who have to go can leave, but those who can stay, stay for communion. But friend, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. And let's be still in the presence of God. Is there someone this morning? And the Lord's calling you, go through with me. Above thine own ambition here, the voice of God is calling clear. It is the call of God to thee. O leave thy all. Follow me. Lord, if there's one this morning in this meeting, and Lord, they're not in the place they ought to be, I pray this morning we'll go through with God. Pray this morning as others are leaving and as others are singing, they'll lift their voice to God in heaven. Say, Lord, here am I. Use me, take me. I surrender all. Lord, don't let one of thy children leave as it were, in God's second best. Oh, but help us to go through with God. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for his glory alone. Amen. Let's stand and